Good morning.
It's good to be here this morning. I think I'm getting a little bit of what everybody else has had. So it's a little hard for me to focus this morning. Get a little sore throat and a little bit of everything, but it's okay. We'll make it through. This morning we're going to talk about something that we all like to talk about, but we almost never talk about in church. Well, yes, we do. We talk about it all the time in church, but we never talk about it through church perspective. And that's called leisure and recreation. We talk a lot about it. We love to talk about leisure and recreation, but you know, we never talk a lot about it in the concept of church. And this morning we're going to continue on the series, as we had said we would do, to preach through the church covenant. And this morning it's been given to me to preach through the leisure, recreation, and entertainment section. And I think I'm going to do a little bit like Todd did. I'm not necessarily going to do about look at the do's and the don'ts, but we like to do. I like how our church covenant is set up. I had nothing to do with it, just so you know. I was not, but I like the fact that they have the principle first. What is the principle? Because really, that's how we filter everything. And I was studying for this and thinking about this and working through this, we've almost never used a principle, very seldom that we use a principle to look through our entertainment, our recreation. What principles? When you think of doing recreation and entertainment, what Bible verses do you think of? Think of any? I don't think we do. I don't. I mean, we take our cue from the world so often. What's the latest fad at Walmart? What's the latest game for the Xbox? Where does Xbox come from? Was that invented by the church? Just asking. Where does all our entertainment that we do come from? It comes from society. And I had never really thought about that until I was studying for this, we don't have a lot of books written on the biblical application of recreation. We have a lot of it on works. Work and recreation, I think, go well together. I think they're both a gift from God, and we'll look at some of that. But what are some of the principles that we need to look at when we look at recreation and when we look at leisure and entertainment? So I'm ready for that. Up on the screen, we're going to look through this. We're going to read this. And I put the verses in there. So often it's easy to read a statement. It's easy to read a statement and just kind of go, oh, yeah. But we want to read it. And I put some of the, not all of it, but I put a lot of the scripture in that we use for the principle on what we have. And then we'll read some of the statements, some of the application that we have at the end. Leisure, recreation, and entertainment. We affirm that wholesome recreational activities can be beneficial when they are under the lordship of Christ. However, in this evil world, there are many distractions that compete for a Christian's attention and affection. Because spiritual endeavors last for eternity, while all else pass away, we must make the most valuable use of our time. And we've got Ephesians 5:15-17 there. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our talents, our money, care must be exercised as not to compromise our testimony and separation. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. So we also need to not promote close association with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14-15, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has the righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Or to violate the personal or corporate conscience. And this 1 Corinthians 8:9-10. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things afforded to idols? And the idea there is, You know, sometimes something might be okay for me, but it would cause somebody else to stumble. So looking down at the application, so that's kind of the perspective, the lens that we need to look at, to use to look at our entertainment and our recreation and our leisure time. Our desire is to promote purity in heart and mind. Therefore, anything that arouses the sensual nature must be abstained from. We believe that participating in gambling, secret societies and lodges, movie theaters, arcades, dancing, tobacco, drugs, and alcohol are violations of scriptural standards of holiness, and we agree to abstain from these. We also warn one another the dangers of worldly amusements, professional athletics, and social events with unbelievers. To guard our purity of heart and mind, we discourage mixed water activities and public beaches. Swimming attire should always be modest and decent. Church and youth activities shall be in harmony with this position. We believe in the principle of one day in seven devoted to God in corporate worship and fellowship, rest and ministry, and agree to uphold the first day of the week for this purpose after the example of the early church. Therefore, we should refrain from making purchases and from business involvement on Sunday except when unavoidable. And as we've said before, this is not a complete list. This is a starting point, as we've said about a lot of ours. The application, we try to keep it to a minimum. And as we look at these things that are listed here, if we look at them through the specter of the principle that we have in the beginning, we understand where they're coming from. But are these all of them? And as I was studying this, you know, we don't talk about leisure a lot in a godly sense. We talk about leisure a lot. We're always talking about the vacation we want to go on, the time we want to take off. We're always talking about leisure. It's not that we don't talk about it, but we don't put a lot of thought into it as far as biblically, spiritually speaking. Albert Mohler says this about work. Work and leisure go together. Leisure doesn't mean much if you don't work. You get really tired of leisure after a while. But leisure and rest feels really good if you work hard. They go together. God created them together, I believe. I think that they are a pair, and we need both. I really do. And that's part of what we want to look at here. But this is what Albert Mohler has to say. He says, Christians understand labor as a duty, but miss the fact that it is also a gift. In the first place, God has made us able to work, to manipulate things, to cultivate the grounds, to manage herds, and to invent microprocessors. Secondly, he has allowed us through labor to understand at least part of our purpose in life, and that is to fulfill a vocation. Furthermore, we can often see the result of our labors. The farmer takes pride in his orderly rows of crops. The carpenter sees the beauty of his cabinet. The doctor is fulfilled in his recovering patient. The mother sleeps content after a day of unceasing work with children. Still, many people have difficulty seeing labor, especially their own, as a gift. And we do. It struck a chord with me. I got to go to work today. I have to go to work today. We don't look at it as a gift. I think there's many people in the world today, and I think about this not often enough, I believe, that would love to have a job to go to. You know, I get all stressed out about my job, and I'm guessing in Greece right now, there's a lot of people that would go to a job even if it took stress, if they just had a job to go to. Am I thankful for the fact that I can go to a job? And do I see it as a gift that God has given us? Most of us have an even harder time with leisure. Some of us make work of leisure time, even as we're supposed to be served by a myriad of appliances and technologies that save us time. But leisure is one of God's gifts too. Leisure is not laziness or sloth, but a gift to those who labor. As Joseph Piper argued years ago, leisure is the very foundation of civilization. For our leisure allows attention to art, to music, to play, and the development and enjoyment of culture. And it's where those things happen. It's where we get to enjoy those. I think about yesterday, the a cappella sing. Sitting there, I didn't go. It's not really my thing. But for some of you, for a lot of people, evidently, it's a wonderful thing. It's a great day to sit in there, listen to good music. It's relaxing. It refreshes you. It's a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. If we don't take time for leisure, we don't do those things. Robert Lee, a theological ethicist, said this, "While Christians have developed a sizable body of literature to provide guidance with respect to work or vocation, we lack any such doctrine or direction for our leisure and our avocation or our vacation times. We have a work ethic, a work morality, which is a curious compound of Puritan and middle-class values. But when it comes to morality or ethic of leisure, we face a vacuum. And that's true. We don't talk about the morality and the ethics of leisure. Why talk about it? It's just fun, right? But is it? We are confronted with that, what might be called a theological lag, in which theological thinking lags behind rapid social changes. This is an instance in which the pace of historical technology and social change has far outrun the pace of theological thought. We have a lot of writings to tell us about work, about the dignity of work, the fulfillment of work, the necessity of work, and the duty of work. But we have almost nothing that talks about leisure and why we do it. And especially in the times, I think of the last 100 years. The other day I was reading an article of a lady that was 110. So she was born in 1908. And to think of all the changes that happened from 1908 till today, I mean, there weren't even barely any cars when she was born. All the changes. But then you think of maybe 1600 to 1700, 1608 to 1718, another 100 years, 110 years, almost no change. Everything's the same. You read the same, you have the same books, you have the same. Nothing changes. But there's been a lot of change. And we haven't really, we've just bought into that. It really caught me off guard, I guess, the way that we bought into the leisure of the society. Society is what tells us what's fun, what's good, what do we do for rest, what do we do for relaxation. The Bible says very little about leisure directly. And Christians throughout the centuries have also thought little about it. And you know, what's funny is we often feel guilty about it. We often feel guilty about our leisure. And we shouldn't. Should we? Should we feel guilty about our leisure? I think it's something that God gave us to enjoy. Leland Ryken says this about the Christian. He says, we got a lot of things that tell us that we shouldn't overwork. We've got a lot of things that tell us we should work. So he says, this is where we're at. He says, we feel guilty about our work because we work too much too often, especially in our Anabaptist backgrounds where we have, I think, done a good thing in work. Sometimes I think we overdo it, but I think we have it right and correct in that work is good. But we feel guilty about work, and we feel guilty about our leisure. So basically, we just feel guilty all the time. Earlier this century, someone claimed that we work at our play and play at our work. Today, the confusion has deepened. We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. And that is true. We often do that. So I had to think about this. Where do we get our ideas on recreation and leisure? Where do we get them from? Do we get them from church? Do we get them from society? And the problem with getting them from society is they don't care about church. So when does most of our cultures, society around us, do their recreation and their leisure? When do they like to do it? On Sunday, right? That doesn't work so well for us, but we've kind of bought into that. We really have. We've bought into that's okay. It's okay to do those things on Sunday. And I think there's things that are fine on during the week, but are we keeping the Sabbath where it needs to be? Most people's attitude about work and leisure, and no one will openly admit this, guarantee you, most people's attitude about work and leisure is that neither one is the business of the church. It's not your business what I work. It's not your business what I do for recreation. We wouldn't openly admit that. Never. I wouldn't openly admit that. But so often that can be the fact. When you changed a job for the last time, did you give any consideration how it would affect your church life, your spiritual life, or your family life? Or was it all about the pay? And thankfully, I know that there are people in this church that have made those decisions. So I'm excited. I'm glad that there are people that are making those decisions, not based on pay, but they're making the decision on their job based on what is good for them and their family. And I'm excited to see that. But as a whole, very seldom do we look at, and I'm guilty of that myself. So I'm standing up here and I'm saying this stuff, but I'm probably just as guilty as any of you. So don't think that I'm standing up here going, looking down, because I a lot of this has talked to me in the last week. When you take up a hobby or whatever you do for leisure, do you ever think about how it would affect your church life, your spiritual life, or your family? I had to think about Little League on Sunday. Do you think about that? That's world's recreation. There's nothing wrong with playing baseball. Don't get me wrong. It's a great sport. But when we leave church early to play baseball, where is the priority? Question. Camping for the weekend and missing church. Nothing wrong with camping. I think it's a great thing to do. Are we willing to miss church for it? On a consistent basis. We as Anabaptists are known for our good work ethic, which can really easily take into work, being a workaholic. And if you ask most people in the Western culture, why do you work? Even if we ask our church people, what's the answer? Retirement. I can't wait to retire. I can't wait to have that life of leisure. Wow, that's why we work, right? Read a little story, and I think probably a lot of you have maybe heard this story already, but it brings out this point. It says, there was once a businessman who was sitting by the beach in a small fishing village trying to relieve some of his stress from the workday. As he sat, he saw a fisherman rowing a small boat towards the shore, having caught quite a few big fish. The businessman was impressed and asked the fisherman, how long does it take you to catch so many fish? The fisherman replied, oh, just a short while. Then why didn't you stay longer at sea and catch even more? The businessman said, astonished. This is enough to feed my whole family, the fisherman said. Then the businessman asked, so what do you do for the rest of the day? The fisherman replied, well, I usually wake up early in the morning, go out to sea, catch a few fish, then go back and play with my kids. In the afternoon, I take a nap with my wife, and the evening comes and I join my friends in the village. We play guitar, talk, and have a good time. The businessman offered a suggestion to the fisherman. He says, I'm a PhD in business management. I could help you become a more successful person. From now on, you should spend more time at sea and try to catch as many fish as possible. When you have saved enough money, you could buy a bigger boat and catch even more fish. Soon you'll be able to afford to buy more boats, set up your own company, set up your own production canning plant and distribution network. By then you will have moved out of this village into a big city where you can set up headquarters to manage your other branches. The fisherman continued and he said, and after that? The businessman laughed. He said, after that you can live like a king in your own house. And when the time is right, you can go public and float your shares in the stock exchange and you will be rich. The fisherman asked, but how long will this take? Will all this take? To which the businessman replied, 15 to 20 years tops. And the fisherman asked after that. And the businessman said, well, after that, you can finally retire. You can move to a house by a fishing village. Wake up early in the morning, catch a few fish. Then return home to play with the kids and have a nice afternoon nap with your wife. And then evenings comes, you can go join your friends to play the guitar, talk, and have a good time. The fisherman was puzzled. He said, isn't that what I'm doing now? Isn't that how we look at work, though, sometimes, and pleasure? We got to work. We got to do more. You're not a good Mennonite. I always say you're not a good Mennonite unless you have your own business and you're wealthy and you're getting ahead and you're working hard. It's the only way. But this fisherman, he was already doing. I mean, sometimes we see work, I think, too much. We do too much of that. So what is success? And I have a lot of questions today that I don't have answers for. I just want us to start thinking. As I was studying for this, I thought, well, this should be a series. This should be like a 10-message series because there's so many variances. I'm just kind of giving you a cross-the-top glimpse of what leisure is and what is this. And so I have a lot of questions, and I don't necessarily have answers, but I just want us to start thinking about things. So what is success? What is success by the world standards? What is success by the Anabaptist standard? And what is success by God's standard? What are those things? One thing that leisure is not, and that is idleness. So often, the world looks at leisure as idleness, doing nothing. Ezekiel 16, 49 to 50 says this. He's warning Israel. He says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and an abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. So they were idle. And idleness has the idea of being lazy, and indolence has the idea of conceit along with it. Not only am I not doing anything, but I know better than anybody else how to do everything, even though I'm not doing anything. Idle is doing nothing but sit around and wanting to be entertained and my desires fulfilled with no effort from me. And in our culture here today, this is not worldwide, but I think in our Western culture, there could be no doubt that life today is much easier than it was 50 years ago. Even among the poor, we enjoy more conveniences than ever before. Likewise, our society offers much more entertainment and leisure than in generations past. Yet, paradoxically, there has also been a substantial increase in boredom and idleness among individuals. And the consequences have not been good. It's a vicious cycle. Affluence affords us more time and money, which makes things easier on the average person. This easier lifestyle offers little but the ability to consume. Our dietary consumption is not healthy, physically or mentally, which leads us to seek things even easier and more unhealthy. Like a deadly drug, idleness has put the educated masses in the Western world in the throes of addiction. Affluence brings with it boredom. Of itself, it offers little but the ability to consume. And that's what we really become. Often that's what we want our leisure to be, is to be consumption, to be entertained. A life centered on consumption will appear and be devoid of meaning. Persons so afflicted will seek sensation. And this is, sometimes when you come across these words, I don't know them, so is my ignorance, you probably maybe would. It says, persons so afflicted will seek sensation as a palliative. Palliative. I think I'm saying it right. And today's culture offers it in abundance. That palliative is the idea of relieving the pain without dealing with the cause of the condition. So I'm bored, so I'm going to fill my time with something. But why am I bored? What am I doing? I'm filling it with all kinds of things. It's all about feelings. I want to be entertained. I don't want to think. I don't want to do any personal growth. I don't want to do anything with my family. I just want to be entertained. And with our work ethic, I think as our Anabaptists, the way it is, we are constantly taught against idleness. And I think we often throw out the baby with the bathwater. We often do that also. God gave us leisure as a gift. And so often we feel guilty about leisure. As with anything God gives us, Satan doesn't want anything more than to pervert it, destroy it, or make it of no consequence. So if he can destroy our leisure time, the thing that God gave us to enjoy creation, to enjoy each other's company, he will. He will do that. So where do we get, some more questions I have here. Where do I get your idea of what leisure is? What is leisure? What is godly leisure? Is there a thing as too much leisure? Is there a thing as too little leisure? Do Christians need leisure? If you were a Puritan, they would say no, unless it helps you work better. That was their whole idea. Leisure wasn't there to be enjoyed. It was just to give you something so you could work better, do more work. I don't think that's quite the right step either. So why don't we talk about leisure as a church? Is it off limits? Is it private? Is it not important? Why would the church be concerned about what you do for leisure? Why would God be concerned about what you do for leisure? What's the point? What's the point of leisure? When's the last time you heard a message about leisure? We don't do those very often. To think about that. But God gave us an example of work and leisure. I believe he gave us a pattern all the way back in Genesis 1. Augustine said this. He said, in both our work and our resting, God is the pattern which we are to follow. God in Genesis 1 already gave us the example of work and rest. When he looked at making the days, when he's in creation, and those making those first 6 days, in each one, God called, there's an evening and a morning. So I'll just read the first one. Genesis 1:5 says, God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. There's a distinction there. He did this and then he waited. There was a time of rest and then he did the next day, he did the next thing. It does not say that God rested each day, but it is so implied. There's a stopping point in each one. I don't think God worked the 24 hours and then said, okay, now this is the first day, and now we're going to work. I'll do the work of the next 24 hours. And then in Genesis 2, 1 to 3, it says this: thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So on the seventh day, God ended his work and he rested. I think it was as an example. But if God rested on the seventh day, why do we think we don't have to? And more our culture is telling us we don't have to. It's just a day like any other day. Modern culture is telling us that this is not important, that all days are the same. This is not what God says is best for us. 6 days of work and one day of rest, a day of leisure. What is one of the rewards of leisure? One of the rewards of leisure is personal development. That's why we come to church, right? Is to personally develop, to draw closer to him, to learn more about God. But you know, again, like I said earlier, Satan never wants us to get that right. He never wants us to get the ratio of work and leisure correctly. Because I think if we get it correct, it's one of the things that gives us life. It's what gives us the energy to keep going. You know, work gives life meaning. There's so many people that are unemployed, they don't have a job, and they feel worthless. They don't know why. But work gives life meaning. God gave us work to do. And if I was studying about this, and I was thinking about this, God gave Adam work to do before the fall. So work is not a curse. God gave Adam work to do before the fall. And then leisure or rest gives life joy and pleasantness. It does. I mean, there's nothing like, for some of you sitting there listening to that a cappella music yesterday, it was wonderful. You enjoyed that. That was a pleasant, joyous time. There's other things that we can do, you know, and it's not always the same. We're going to look at this here in just a little bit. But what is leisure? Leisure is different for everybody. It's not the same. That's why we can't put it up here in the applications and say, this is what you have to do. Some churches try to do that. You know, this is the acceptable leisure. What you like to do, I don't necessarily consider leisure. You know, you might like planting a garden. I don't encourage you to plant a garden on a Sunday. So I think there's a difference between some of the leisures when they're applicable. But some people love to work in the garden. Personally, I'm not one of those. I do not like to work in the garden. I won't go there. I don't like to. Other people like it. This is like, oh, this is great. I love to go on. I like to watch it grow. But the weeds grows right with it. It's not no fun with me. But that's leisure. So you can't make a set rule and say this is leisure, because it's not the same for everybody. It's different. Same as we have different jobs. We have different things that we enjoy. But Satan loves to destroy and pervert anything God has made. So work is a good thing, right? Work is a gift from God. What does Satan want to do? He wants to overwork us. He wants us to get burnt out. He would love for us to get burnt out. We don't have any time to think when we're overworked. We don't have any time to get close to God. We don't have any time for our family when we have too much work. So he loves to overwork us or just not give us any work at all. Make us think that, oh, I don't want to work. He makes work a punishment. Work is a punishment or a curse. We say that. And in fact, it is not. He loves to destroy the leisure part of it. Too much leisure. What does that make? It makes people lazy. Makes people selfish. Makes people feel entitled. Makes people feel bored. Dissatisfaction. Life has no meaning when we have too much leisure. What is leisure? Leisure is an activity chosen in relative freedom for its qualities of satisfaction. So we choose. Leisure is something we choose to do because it brings us satisfaction. It brings us joy. Leisure is an activity apart from the obligations of work, family, and society to which the individual turns at will for either relaxation, diversion, or broadening of his knowledge. So it's something that we do apart from our obligations at work. It's something that we would not have to do. We don't have to do it. It's not an obligation. It's not a duty. It's not a work. And leisure can be anything from sitting and watching the sun come up to a really rough game of football. And those are two opposite extremes. You know, some people, they need that relaxation. Well, we'll get there. What some people find leisurely, others find exhausting and unpleasant. Leisure is time devoted to freely chosen activities that are inherently pleasurable and satisfying. And many of these activities require effort. We would think, well, you know, if it's leisure, it doesn't require any effort. But they do. Many of these activities that bring us joy and rest in our spirit and in our physicals, many of these activities require effort and are even physically or mentally strenuous. But they are experienced as leisure because they are freely chosen and they carry the rewards of leisure. And we'll look at what those are here in just a little bit. God gave us leisure to enjoy God's creation and to draw closer to Him. Work and leisure complement each other. I think they go hand in hand. So what are three qualities of leisure? What are some of the, what makes leisure leisure? It's non-work. It's free time. Like I said, leisure is a contrast to work and other obligations, and it is freely chosen instead of being done under obligation. So it's something that I freely choose to do. Nobody's making me do it. I don't have to do it for work. I don't have to do it for family. It's something I'm freely choosing to do. And like we said, what you call leisure and what I call leisure can be two different things. It doesn't have to be a set item. It's usually an activity. It's doing something, whether it's culture pursuits like reading a book, attending a concert or a play, attending the a cappella sing, visiting an art gallery or a museum, listening to music. It can be recreation. We've got sports, anything from sports to vacationing, you know, bicycling, horseback riding, which is my personal favorite, by the way. That's the one I like to do, better than gardening. Skiing, hiking, all these things that will bring us closer to the creation that God made. And I think to some extent, entertainment. There's some of that. Watching a movie, reading a magazine. It's the one that I probably struggle with the most. I think that's the one that we use the world's idea of what is entertaining the most too often. Hobbies and craft, collecting things, restoring things. You know, I know Forrest and Hunter are restoring a truck right now. I'm not sure anybody's forcing them to do that. Maybe they are, I don't know. But it's some things like that that we do because we enjoy doing them, because they bring us a change from work. Making things, social activities. And I think this is the one that's the most appropriate for Sundays. Visiting with friends and relatives, playing games together, family picnics, things that we can do together as a family. and not all of these leisure things are appropriate for Sundays, I don't believe. But they are appropriate for leisure, I believe. The third thing that I think that leisure brings is a quality of life. Leisure is a matter of the individual's perception. So again, it's not about what you say is, I can't tell you what is leisure, what's going to bring you pleasure. It's rooted in enjoyment and reflects degrees of pleasure and satisfaction. In other words, leisure is a stated feeling of satisfied, a feeling of luxurious well-being. Joseph Piper said this about leisure. He said, leisure is more than doing, it is being. Leisure is something that brings pleasure and satisfaction to our life. Work can do that also. But in Leland Ryken, which is if you want a big book about leisure, he's got one. Leland Ryken is his name. He says, my main goal is to encourage people to upgrade the quality of their leisure pursuits. We have a lamentable tendency to drift by default into mediocrity in our leisure, lives instead of actively choosing the excellent. When we define leisure in terms of human enrichment, it again emerges as the opposite, not only of work, but of idleness. So it is not idleness. So what are some of the rewards of leisure? Relaxation. It gives us a time to relax, provides recovery from fatigue, from mental fatigue, from physical fatigue. So if I just had a big day of, Jason was telling me that he was shoveling a bunch of bark mulch yesterday. So if I have a big day of that, I really probably am not going to feel like playing a game of football. But, you know, I'll sit and listen to some, go to the acapella sing and listen to some music or watch the sun go down. Or for me, I like to go for a nice horseback ride. It's relaxing. It brings me pleasure. Or I had a stressful day. If I have a stressful day at work, my day at work is almost nothing physical. So actually, if I was shoveling what he did yesterday, I would be not working at all. I wouldn't be doing anything. I'd be laying in bed. That would be my leisure because I'm so out of shape right now. Not a good thing to say, but I am out of shape. My job is nothing physical. It's all mental. Mental stress. So it's good sometimes to go outside and do some physical work. It brings satisfaction. It brings relaxation. So it's relaxation. It provides recovery from fatigue, whether it's mental fatigue or physical fatigue. It's entertainment. It is that. It spells deliverance from boredom when we go and do something. Also, another reward of leisure is personal development, becoming a better person, becoming a better family member, a better part of society, of growing, developing, reading a book, reading, doing whatever, enjoying the arts, personal development. And I think it also draws us closer to God, gives us a personal relationship with God when we do leisure well and do leisure right. So in closing, just a few comments from Leland Ryken that I want to make in closing. The leisure patterns of most Christians are much the same as those of secular society. We have not been encouraged by pastors and teachers to become self-conscious about our leisure choices, nor have we given adequate attention to educating ourselves to enhance the quality of our leisure. Because God calls us to be good stewards of leisure time, the choices we make are necessarily moral choices. We don't think about that. We don't think about the fact that our leisure, our moral choices are moral choices. We don't think about that. But they are. C.S. Lewis explained it this way. Our leisure, even our play, is a matter of serious concern. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. It is a serious matter to choose wholesome recreation. One measure of whether we are getting enough leisure is the degree to which the purposes of leisure are adequately achieved in our lives. Those purposes include providing a break for work, an obligation, relaxation, entertainment, celebration, self-fulfillment, and nurturing of the family and social bonds. If we are notably deficient in these things, we obviously need either more or different leisure in our lives. Could be also part of the problem. It's not that we don't have enough leisure. We as North American Anabaptists, or just North Americans, usually have plenty of time for leisure. Lots of time for leisure. It's amazing. When I try to hire somebody at work, they have to be off of work by 2 o'clock because I got to have the afternoon off to do whatever I want to do. Wow, we have lots of time for leisure and recreation. On the other side of the ledger, there are several tests of whether we are excessive in our leisure. The chief test is whether our leisure renders us incapable of meeting our moral and Christian obligations. These obligations involve time, money, and work. Our obligation in these areas reach out to embrace our devotional life, our willingness to help in church work, our meeting of family responsibility, and our availability to help people in need. So we have different ways that we can look at, do we have enough leisure? Do we not have enough leisure? Are we thinking about those things? And I guess that was my, as I was looking at this and we were studying about this, do we seriously, as C.S. Lewis said, take this in consideration? And as Leland Ryken said, do we think about the fact that our leisure choices are moral choices? We often don't think about that. We often don't think about that. And I struggle with our entertainment, and it's very prevalent in not just everywhere. The time that's spent playing Xbox games, shooting people. Unreal amount of hours that Anabaptist children shoot each other, kill each other. It's amazing. And I was shocked the other day at work. An Amish girl, she's running around, so I guess shouldn't be shocked. But she said, I've watched every movie that Netflix has. Wow. I've watched every movie that's on Netflix. I don't even use Netflix anymore because I've watched every movie that's on it. That's scary. If you look at, I don't have Netflix. I don't want Netflix because I would probably watch too many. I mean, it's one of the reasons I don't have it is because I know it's a weakness that I have. It is a weakness that I have. But to watch every movie that's on Netflix, that's a lot of time, and it's a lot of immorality to watch every movie that's on Netflix. And I think of all the different types of movies that there are on Netflix. It scares me. Do we realize that our leisure time, all those things are moral choices? And I guess that's what I want us to think about more than anything. Not about... Yeah, I want us to think about the applications that we have on our church covenant. But that's actually just a minor detail on what we actually need to be thinking about. So I guess I just want us to think about, are we thinking about the fact that the leisure that we do, and we need leisure. We need, I think, more than we know. But we need the right kind of leisure. We don't need necessarily entertainment. So it's easy to work hard. That's sort of the thing when we work so hard. It's easy to work hard and I just want to come home and do nothing. I want to come home and do nothing. I don't want to think. I don't want to do anything like that. And often that can be an escape to do those entertainment kind of things. But let's think about that. When we do, what is our leisure time? So when we are awake, we're either working or we're not working, right? So we either have spare time, leisure time, or we're working quite often. So what are we doing with that time? And so let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this place that we live in, Lord, that in the area that we live in right now, that if we want a job, we can have a job. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the physical fitness that you've given us to have jobs and be able to work and care for our families and those around us and provide for those around us. We thank you for the gift of work. Lord, so often we don't look at it as a gift, but it does bring fulfillment in our lives. Lord, as we looked this morning at work some, but also looked at leisure, which is also a gift from you, and rest that is a gift from you, Lord, help us to look at it through your eyes. Help us to use these verses, these principles that we have to filter our leisure, Lord, so that it gives you honor and you glory. Lord, you want leisure to build us up, to encourage us, to give us joy in life. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, what you've given us. And Lord, help us to use our time wisely, to redeem the time that you've given us. Lord, help me to do a better job of that. Lord, just give us a good week as we go from here. Lord, help us to share our testimony with those that we see. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have done this past week in the congregation, Lord. Lord, in their lives, in their... And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do this week, for the way that you will be with us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.